How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth.
Hello, welcome to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. I'm Laura Cheadle, and today we're going to do part 2 of the shows that I have been doing on aging. In that show, most of the women were in their 40s to 50s. So this week, I have got 2 women on the show. Well, one is my mother. That's exciting. And her friends. So they're basically a generation ahead of the women who were on last week's show, which I think will provide a lot of interesting perspective, and hopefully we'll be able to go deeper into things. So with that, I am going to welcome my 2 guests. And Linda, why don't you introduce yourself first and your age and kind of your status in life?
Hello, I'm Linda. I'm 70 years old this year, and I'm single.
Okay, and Lynn?
I'm Lynn. I'm Laura's mom. I'm 69, approaching 70. I am married. Laura's our only child.
And Linda, you have got 2 boys.
I have 2 38 and 40-year-old young men. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have some similarities, but also some differences. Well, what about career? What was your career path? Linda, you go ahead and start.
Oh, I worked as a secretary for many years. I worked for court reporters for many years at home when my children were young. And I ended my career with 30 years at a school district. Ended it as a manager. And then retired for 4 years, and now I'm back working part-time in a government job, about 20 hours a week, which I like.
Fun. And Lynn, how about you?
I'm a retired elementary school teacher. I loved my career. Retired about 10 years ago, and since then I've been working just one day a week for an insurance agent, and also love that.
Mm-hmm. And before that, you stayed home a lot of years with me.
I did. Yeah. There was always kind of a part-time thing going on, but Laura was my focus.
Which is good. Okay, so let's just kind of launch into some of the same questions that we had last week. What do you guys notice, or what have you noticed, about the way people treat you as you have moved through life? From your 20s to your 30s to your 40s, how did that change?
I noticed when going back to work part-time that people are surprised that I have a skill set. I think some of the management people understand it, but the younger people are surprised that I can use a computer, that I know some tricks, that I am a contributing member of the team. They call on me sometimes for life issues when we talk socially, but when it comes to work, they usually don't think of me first. It's a bit humbling, but it's also interesting when I can surprise them.
Mm-hmm. I think that any issues I may have largely stem from a youth-oriented society that we live in. I don't feel any different. I love my job, and nobody treats me differently there at all. But my perception of how people react to me in public, like waiters are probably the worst wait staff. They always go to the youngest person at the table. You get asked last, and then the check always comes to the oldest person at the table. So whereas that might be a little irritating to me, I feel horrible for friends who are older than I, and it's assumed that the older person would take the check. I think it's a poor perception, and I'm surprised management will handle that.
Also, I think white staff who call you girls, being called a girl, I think probably ma'am would be the best thing, and I'm okay with ma'am, but when we're called young ladies or girls, I think they think that's respectful, but it's not.
Condescending.
It's a very condescending. It's like, yeah, you're not going to do anything too important or ask me any questions about the food.
And it's not flattering. I remember the first time I was called ma'am, I was shocked. But now, every now and then, and men, not women, will call me miss. And I find that condescending. I mean, I'm almost 70. I'm doing fine, but I'm clearly not a miss.
That's interesting. Jumping back to Linda's comment, then we'll move more into that too, but I just kind of want to keep it chronologically so I don't lose track in my brain. You talked about surprising people at work with your skill set. And I agree. There's a lot of people, doesn't matter what old you, how old you are, some people have great skills, some people have no skills. There's also an attitude, and I'm not saying either of you have it, but there's also an attitude that sometimes older people will put out there for themselves. That's not my generation. I don't do that.
Oh.
Have you guys noticed that?
One lady that I work with will always say, not always, but I've heard her say, well, I'm old school.
Yes.
And I don't think that she means it the way that it comes across, or maybe it doesn't come across to others like it does to me.
Yeah.
I think that insults the generation.
Yeah.
I don't like someone saying that about my era.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't.
I'm not even quite sure exactly what it means because she's a very skilled woman. So.
Right. I have a friend's mom who won't text, and then she has a hard time keeping in touch with her grandkids. And then my friend has a hard time reaching his mom because she doesn't have a cell phone. And she keeps saying, I'm too old to learn that. Don't put that on me. I don't want it. I'm too old.
No wonder people do that.
Yeah.
No, I think I often get the question, do you text?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course I do. I prefer texting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the nicest thing about our technology today, you don't have to bother someone at home by hearing their voice.
Yes.
You can send a clear message by text.
Yes.
And my children can. And Facebook is the same. I love it because I can keep in contact with where my children and friends are without bothering them all
mm-hmm.
the time, just being aware. I love it, and I think all older people should.
Oh, I do too. I completely agree. I think the universal problem with text is it takes out inflection.
True.
But mostly you're texting with people you know well enough that you understand.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meet me at Starbucks.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like it, the meet me at Starbucks part.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like there's a lot of things that, a lot of technology and a lot of things in the world, and I get lost in them. You know, do you do Spotify or do you do iTunes or do you do, this or that? And sometimes it's like, I don't want to learn another thing. I don't want to download a new app. I don't want to.
And I'm one of those generations. I think Instagram is far too self-serving. Way too many pictures, way too many things. If you're on vacation, enjoy the vacation. I'm tired of seeing every pose you could possibly have. So some of them, in my view, can go too far. So, yes, I'm in that older generation that likes Facebook. But I don't like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's for any generation, sure. Possibly. Yeah. It's just that sometimes I feel like I have noticed people say, it's because I'm older, I'm not going to learn that. Like you were saying, I'm old school. Or my office isn't going to update that technology. I've always done it this way.
Right.
And I know when I was very first working, the very first law firm that I worked in, they were refusing to go digital on some files. Are you kidding?
Right.
I went to law school and it was digital, and you're refusing to digital make your office digital?
Well, I think that you isolate yourself if you don't keep up. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get lonelier and lonelier.
Well, because
that's the world we live in.
Everyone moves forward, and if you don't move forward, you've taken yourself out of the game.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up, Lynn and I, in a generation where I would drive across the country, sometimes alone without a cell phone. That would scare me. I wouldn't go to the grocery store without my cell phone today.
Right.
So, and my view, we've changed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Everything has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I worry that we're losing our map skills.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just plug it in.
Yes. Mine are gone. Yeah. And I think some of that is related to age, and some of that is just related to our society.
True, but I also think, and Lynn and I both have this advantage, if you're close to your children, they kind of lead you along, you know?
They do.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone's doing whatever, you're going to do it too because you want to keep up. You want the grandkids to be contacting you. You want to be in touch.
Now, you just probably inadvertently made an amazing point. Good job. What you said is your kids lead you along. And I thought, isn't that true? And then I thought, oh, that's a society thing. If society is not capturing everybody else, if it takes having kids to lead you along, that's a youth-oriented society, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's not like the kids go to the elders.
No.
Or it's the elders looking to the youth saying, I want to stay in contact. What do I do to, you know, accomplish that?
I like that.
Yeah. That's true, because you used to say, go to your father, go to your mother, go to your grandparents.
Yeah.
And now it's reversed.
It is.
Yeah. And I do think that we lose a lot by not honoring older people. I mean, we lose generations of people. And they're sitting sometimes in, you know, senior facilities, and no one is tapping that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. No, that is so true. And I just put a post on my Facebook 2 days ago, I think it was. I went to a senior center and facilitated two groups. And you look at these people and you think, you don't think anything of them, but you certainly don't think they have so much to offer me. Mm-hmm. And they're very quiet. And after an hour, stuff was coming out, and I'm thinking, oh, you have so much.
But you had to draw them out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not used to people taking time.
Why do you think they were reluctant to share their knowledge?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a few different reasons. The particular group that I was with, they had physical issues, cognitive issues. They were low income, and they were living in government housing.
Marginalized.
So I think it's kind of that whole combination of, I have no money, I have no worth, I have, you know, I've got the dark glasses on, I'm in my wheelchair, why would you listen to me?
You're not going to care what I've been through in my life.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to hear a sad story.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll bet it's all going on inside. Because we've all been in situations where you're kind of not being included. And so you just start thinking your own thoughts.
Right.
And as we get older, I think that. I have always been very opinionated. I'm learning to be quieter and to listen, because I learn so much from young people, from all people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, though, because if these people had been younger, I'm curious how much is just their personality and how much is just a lifetime of...
Well, they grew up in a male-oriented society, and so maybe some of these women especially weren't used to anybody.
Society. I think it's still a male-oriented
society. I'm sure it is, but we're kind of mouthy.
Yeah, right. I'm disappointed in some young women because of, and it's maybe our fault, because of their lack of knowledge of what we went through at their age, what we went through in job market, and possibly you did too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing from my employers that a couple of them in two different places, that they wanted to see my skirts shorter at work.
Oh, wow.
Well, we weren't allowed to wear pants to work. It was just not appropriate, and you'd get called in for it.
I wasn't allowed to either when I worked.
You have nice legs. You should show more of them. I think I would like to see young women somewhere in their psyche understand what the privileges they do have, and they would never be asked that, because we've been through a lot.
You know what's really interesting, though? Yeah, I want to jump in on that because I don't want to lose that. You were asked to wear shorter skirts.
Right.
I was told to wear longer skirts for the same reason. You have nice legs. You need longer skirts. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. I don't know they're thinking about that.
Uh-huh.
Don't show too much, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Don't be too much of a woman.
Exactly.
Oh, don't distract the men with your femininity.
Yes. I was told that a lot. I was told to cut my hair. I was told to wear longer skirts. And I was told not to wear heels.
Oh, is that disappointing?
Mm-hmm. So it's a 180.
I had mistakenly assumed that young women had so many more privileges, but that didn't happen. And it still happens too much. When we look at our current administration and see a cabinet made of all white men, that's disappointing to me.
Yes. And all white men over a certain age,
over
too.
Over a certain age, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like we're going backwards in many ways.
Well, that concerns me a lot. Mm-hmm. And the point I was going to make earlier was just means nothing probably, but when we were children growing up, we were allowed to wear pants to school, and mm-hmm. it was cold, and our little bare legs were out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in recess, just the girls would line up against the brick wall and squat down so our coats would cover our little bare legs.
Mm-hmm.
Boys, of course, covered their legs.
Right.
Not funny.
So it always, yeah. I mean, you grow up that way and you don't think much about it, but boys have always, males,
right,
been considered first, and then we are considered second.
It would be interesting to have a group of 20-year-old young women in the workplace and see mm-hmm. what their conditions are today compared to yours.
And that's ours. A really good point.
To see, do they, certainly they still have discrimination, mm-hmm. but at what level?
I like that idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even right now, like at the high school, homecoming is tonight.
Right.
So the parents look at the dress code. Girls cannot have spaghetti straps. They cannot wear spaghetti straps to school. They cannot have spaghetti straps on a dress. Cannot show midriff, cannot show too much fat.
Even to the dance, they can't have.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's always bugged me. And I know there's a lot of parents who've been up in arms, but it's the county, and you may not have spaghetti straps.
Do they have dress code for boys?
Not to that extent, no.
So they could wear shorts if they wanted
oh,
to.
Oh, absolutely.
And they do.
And they do. But it is based on the girls or a distraction for the boys, and those poor boys can't handle those girls.
Well, we got a phone call on you.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, yeah. And what's it? He called Laura's dad at work
mm-hmm.
and said she has no idea that these poor boys, she can't dress like that.
I'm beyond disappointed. As the mother of two boys
yes.
who just are their teens, I'm unaware of that. I didn't know that. But also, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be faced with that all of their lives.
Well, and yeah. trust me, I mean, it wasn't like she was hanging out or anything.
No, but young boys can handle that, and they need to handle that.
Yes. It makes me wonder if the teacher wasn't distracted.
I'm much more thinking that. I think young boys can handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think my boys can handle it, and
sure.
we talk about it.
Yes, we talked about it so much that
it's not a big deal.
What their responsibility was when it came to young women
mm-hmm.
and all women.
Yeah.
But I was telling Linda the other day when we were up in the mountains and there was that construction zone.
Oh, uh-huh.
I think Glenwood Springs where the bridge came down. And we were walking up and down on either side of the chain link fence and lots of young women. It was summer there. And the workers kept working. When I was young, you avoided that. You went around the block. There were cat calls. It was hard to walk past a construction site.
We
so that's
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness just, that doesn't
unless
happen
unless you really had to, and then you would just look straight ahead.
Yes. I'm happy to hear that, because I can't imagine today that it would happen.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly wouldn't happen to me. They're not going to cap call
well,
to me.
No. But the young girls, I mean, they were, you know, coming and going from the pool.
Sure.
And, of course, they had cover-ups on. But
oh, good to hear.
Yeah.
Some things have changed, haven't
yes.
they?
Yeah. Well, can you imagine your boys doing that? Ours would never do
never,
that.
No.
Never.
They wouldn't even think
I
about
think
it.
The privilege my boys have of living with a strong woman, that they have so much respect for women.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows through and through. They know that the expectations for them are high. And it's frightening to them sometimes, a bit.
I bet. You know? I bet. How has that been with their friendships with other men who maybe do view women as property?
To my knowledge, it hasn't been. I don't.
Okay.
I think they would avoid young men. No, my younger one has friends who think far too conservatively for him.
Okay.
Maybe because of their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to guns,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to even political beliefs. So they've learned to be quiet. But they also said, I have one child who's gay. My younger child, my second child, had no trouble with that. And he said, and his friends wouldn't have trouble with it. If they did, they wouldn't be his friend anymore. So
yeah.
I find that kind of supportive behavior from them. When it comes to how they treat young women, what I have observed is that all of my sons and their friends treat young women with a great deal of respect.
Good.
That's
so we are making some progress.
I think we are.
Yeah.
No, wouldn't you say that about your boys?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yes. I think just hanging out at the high school, mm-hmm. I think for the most part, there's been a lot of progress made. And these kids are amazing.
Right.
And they are open and they're honest and they're supportive and they're frank. They
right.
say what they mean. They mean what they say. If they have an issue with something, they're pretty good at saying, I don't understand that. That confuses me. That's kind of weird. Explain it to me instead of,
I remember stories my mother told of, she said the idyllic little white schoolhouse in the country was not that at all in her mind. It was horrible that young men started fires, that they were abusive to young women, and mm-hmm. young women were often scared. They would turn over the outhouses. And inevitably, there were one or two bullies.
That's too bad.
Treated them like that, yes.
But yeah. My mother, who you, of course, grew up knowing really well,
yeah.
She grew up in an era where she was really quite attractive, and she manipulated men and had men and had presents and had gifts. And,
yeah.
And always was on Laura and me to be
to
that.
Do that.
To use men, to
oh.
to get what you could get, to flirt, to...
And that wouldn't have been my mother's life at all. She grew up in the country
mm-hmm.
and small towns. And there's a large difference, I think, between
yes,
city life
well, especially
and... Especially men. In that generation.
Yeah. But we've always had quite a different view of we wanted to be straightforward,
mm-hmm.
Have friends of both sexes, honor yourself. You don't have to put yourself. But she was very much that.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked for her.
Right. Well, and that was her generation, too. And that's kind of some of the stuff that you were talking about last week, about competition between women. It feels like with her and her friends, it was all about, I can get the most boys. I can get the
oh.
most dates. I can get the most.
Even in
the older years.
Yeah, even when she was elderly, there was a bit of competition, kind of catty. I think her maybe more than some of the other women.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I would say to her, why don't you support each other? Which was a foreign concept.
Yeah. It may still be, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
I live close to a lake, close to an over 55 population. And one of our good friends, the gentleman may be 80, and lost his wife. And was laughing with the group of people in younger than his generation about how much the women in the retirement community immediately started bringing him food and disagreeing with each other about who was going to be with him. He had a choice of three or four women. And he said it got quite heavy between the women about him.
Did that bother him, or was he flattered?
I don't think he was flattered. That isn't what I read.
Okay.
It was more, no one needs to worry about me, but he didn't care for it.
Okay.
That was my understanding. He said a very open 80-year-old man who, in his mind, is probably 60. But he is quite attractive, and all he knew was he wanted companionship.
Right.
He did not want to be the center of that competition, and yet he was.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we've heard that there's some promiscuity and so forth in the senior centers.
What would happen if you and I lived in the same retirement community? Would we fight over the men there?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
I hope not.
I always think if I end up somewhere like that, that I want to be in charge of the social committee. Because I don't like this idea of I'm old and I have to sit here. No, we can go to plays and movies and symphonies and walks
right.
and
hikes. And I would like to be in a group where you can have an open discussion about politics and religion and not be told we can't talk about it.
Right.
I think it's healthy to talk about it. I think it opens your mind. And I don't care what group I'm in, someone will always say, well, we can't talk about that.
Right.
I don't like that. That's not generational, I don't think. I think that just happens in the
right.
world today.
Mm-hmm. But, and your best conversations among, and these are particularly politics
mm-hmm.
conversations that women our
right.
age, or and men too, have a lot. Unfortunately, it's mostly with people who agree with you.
Yes.
You know, because the other side, inevitably gets mad and walks out,
mm-hmm.
which...
It's hard.
It's hard. And then I always think, oh, was I too...
But if you can't support your opinion, that bothers me.
Right.
You can have an opinion that's different than mine, but please have some knowledge to support it.
Mm-hmm.
I can openly say this. I'm a very, very liberal person. And if I talk to someone who's very conservative, my frustration is they won't elaborate. They don't want to. They roll their eyes and they'll walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be conservative. You can agree or disagree with me, but please tell me why you think that.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that changes with age? Do you think once people have been through, you know, administration changes 40 times versus twice, do you think there's a better, do you think there's a different, yeah, perspective?
Well, there is for me.
Yeah.
I believe there is. But I think some of the conservatives I've met, I don't think that's true.
Well, some of that's fear-based. I think that you and I and people who think like us, we take the long view. You know, you say, well, we've been through this before. And then, yeah. And I've said that to you many times,
right.
Laura, with the kids.
Right.
She's where I, and as a teacher, and I've said many times, oh, I've seen this. It'll pass. It's
mm-hmm.
okay. Because when you're raising a child or when you're young and you're trying to decide politically or religion, what you're, it seems so heavy. When you get older, it kind of like
okay.
lightens
it's
up
okay.
for you. It opens up for you.
Yeah.
We do take the long view.
Yeah.
Because I believe things will turn around again. Mm-hmm. We're in a cycle now. It's
right.
cyclical.
Mm-hmm. And it is cyclical.
One of the things, there's a women's speaking group in the Buell Theater.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember that, but the... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Unique Lives.
Yeah.
The former governor of Texas talked about that when George Bush ousted her so he could become governor, and that he was more considered very conservative and she was very liberal. And her view was very much, things will change.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's good about politics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back and forth statewide and countrywide. And she had a very open...
And international.
Fair, yes, and yes. internationally. Absolutely. Yes. She had a very favorable view of what happened, wishes it could have been different, but also thinks it's healthier when it changes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
It's a good lesson for all of us,
mm-hmm.
very liberal people as well.
Right. May I turn this a little bit?
Sure.
This conversation.
You can.
Because it's about aging.
Yes.
And part of what I wanted to address is the fact that we are in control of part of that. And people who don't choose to take control have a harder time aging.
Yes. Yes.
We're controlling.
You're looking at me.
I'm trying to understand. We're controlling our own destiny.
Yeah, I think we're here by choice, and we are what we choose to be.
Oh, yes.
No, that's true, too. And you can choose to sit at home and not text, not learn computer skills, and not take advantage of resources and classes. Or you can choose to go to the rec center and sign up for every class and give it a try.
Yes.
And even if you don't like it, try it again.
And we're both exercisers. I mean, I believe that this is, I chose to be here. I somehow put this body together for myself, and so I'm going to take care of it. And the same thing with our minds and
mm-hmm.
and our outlook. And we really have more control than, say, your grandma thought she had.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And even two generations back, I mean, I think 2 to 3 generations back, 50 was like, wow, you're 50.
Right.
You're really on the downhill slide from here on
because
out.
We're 70-ish
yeah.
in your case.
Yeah.
We don't let people dismiss us.
No.
I don't think so. I think it's there. And I think you would ask a question about that earlier, Laura, in the earlier session. Do you think that people categorize you in a way you don't like? And does that bother me? No, because I can handle it, because I'm strong-willed and I can make choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I will... If it happens repeatedly, I will find a way of letting them know that I have an opinion.
Good. Yeah.
I don't think I sit back and walk away defeated.
Right.
Even as far as shopping or walking mm-hmm. into a shopping restaurant or whatever, you know, you can come in and be quiet and be seated in the corner because you're old. Or you can come in and say, how are you today? That's really a cute dress.
Right.
I want to sit far away from the bathroom. That's gross.
We do that, don't we?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, the opinions I have, I think people used to think were outrageous. Now they think it's charming because I'm older.
I mean, you can draw people into conversation.
Yes, we do.
Right.
And especially waitstaff.
Yeah.
If a young man calls me a girl, I want to engage with him to let him know, maybe you don't want to call me that. Without saying that to him,
mm-hmm.
let him know that, yes, I'm a free thinker and open and more than that. I'd like to broaden him a bit.
Now, I'm glad you said that, because sometimes I have older men, especially, call me sweetheart or darling or something. And I've had friends that have said, aren't you outraged? Doesn't that make you crazy? And usually, I mean, and there's been some times where it's creepy, yes. But usually I think, no, it's a reflection of their generation. And they see me as their cute little granddaughter.
They're kind of grandpa-ish.
And if they don't think that I'm smart or together, I don't really care. I feel like it's their, not really flaw, but it's their perception, not mine.
Right. We think that too, don't we?
Yes.
We don't always say
it. And sometimes, you know, you just have to laugh it off.
Yeah.
Like at Christmas time, I was with friends, and we did our little Christmas exchange in a restaurant. We were back in the corner by ourselves. And we may have gotten a little loud, I don't know, but when we walked out with all our presents, a customer at a table, as we walked past, he said, oh, the old lady's birthday party. Well, we thought, our Christmas party, we thought it was hysterical. We laughed, which didn't help the situation, but it was a rude comment, and you know what, it didn't bother us. We thought it was funny.
How old was that gentleman?
You know, I can't even tell you. Because that's how little attention he got from us. And it wasn't because, it wasn't worth turning around and seeing who said
it. I hear you. I wouldn't have said anything either, and I think I would have looked at my friends and thought, what a rude young man, but left it at that.
Yeah,
because
right.
What would possess anyone to say
that? To say that.
Right. That's just
Well, we just laughed.
Of course we would, because it's a ridiculous thing.
And he was far outnumbered.
I'm more concerned about his mother and what she would have. Would that have been okay?
Right.
And sometimes jokes go over wrong, too.
Right.
We've all been in that situation,
yeah.
too.
So that's true.
You know. Yeah. Okay, now I want to jump back because I said I wanted to sort of keep things moving. You had addressed the wait staff in the restaurant at the very first. People taking your order last. That's interesting.
And you always they always greet you. They always hand you the menu first. They always ask you first what you want. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'll be damned.
But what's the psychology behind that?
I don't know, but it happened with Grammy too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I let it happen, and sometimes I would direct the attention back to her. I would say, well, why don't you ask my mom first?
That's interesting.
And I think it's interesting when we're all out together, the check always goes to your dad.
Interesting.
Now, Sean's really good. You know, he'll wave or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But without saying.
So the older male, because I don't notice you getting the check. It's the older male that gets the check.
Well, but when I go out with my school group, I won't say the name, but one is older,
and she gets the check.
She gets, and I always feel so bad for her. And sometimes one of us over, because we fully intend to divide that thing up. Why would it go to her?
That's really interesting.
If I have dinner with my boys and their significant others, the check will come to me.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And why would you assume that mom or dad are going to pay for the check? Why wouldn't you assume that the children are treating mom or dad?
And then isn't there a flipping point at some place where somebody is so obviously so old that they are not working, they don't have an income, and then the check doesn't go to them?
That's interesting, probably.
Maybe.
We won't get there.
You know, because I'm thinking about, you know, Marilyn.
Right.
Your mom.
Right.
In her 80s.
Yeah. No, then I would get the check.
You would get the check. So where is that turning point with
you? Well, maybe in 10 years we'll never get the check again.
That'd be fun, maybe it'll balance out.
Exactly.
Maybe it's always been that through life. But again, we're in a different generation where my mother and her girlfriends would never have gone to a restaurant.
Oh, by themselves.
They would have been in each other's homes cooking.
Yes.
It didn't occur. And maybe that's because they were in a remote rural area, but they would never have gone out for lunch that.
Right.
For a party. They would have always cooked themselves.
That's kind of charming, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
They depended on each other a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that women worldwide depend on each other. And you can go all the way back to anywhere in history and any place in history. The women are at the river
together
talking while mm-hmm. they are grinding their corn or whatever, mm-hmm. Cooking right. together. They are sitting outside sewing hides together or whatever. Women are the backbone of a society.
Yeah. And then that leads too to that flipping point. We did used to have a lot more matriarchal cultures, whether we knew it or not. I read, it was at the Museum of Nature and Science when it was the Lewis and Clark exhibit, that when Lewis and Clark were coming across, greeting all the Plains Indians, they were very strong matriarchal societies, and they were beautiful, and they literally lied to the government and said these are violent, aggressive tribes, because if they presented these very strong, peaceful, matriarchal societies, they knew this whole Manifest Destiny thing would not have happened. So, and women, you're right, in cultures for everywhere, are together with the kids, with the fire, with each other, blah, blah, blah. So when did it flip then and become competition? And I need to get your man, and I need to get your man's money, and I need to...
Well, I'm not sure that happened in other societies. It happened here.
It happened here, but...
But I don't know, did it happen in other Western societies, like in England? Does it happen in South America? I don't know.
I don't know either. I would be willing to bet to a certain extent it did.
I think partly ours was driven by the media, which then mostly was movies. But Joan Crawford, Betty Davis, and I think they were kind of fed a diet of who won the man and who...
Yeah. Well, I was thinking back to like the Jane Austen books, which I love, but it's all, I have to marry the rich gentlemen. I have to become the lady of this manor. And there is that competition over who is going to get.
Well, I think that's true throughout.
And like the Titanic movie, you want. This is our only chance. You have to marry him. Without him, our whole family collapses.
I hardly know what to say, because I think if there weren't a male head, like an elder male son to inherit, then it fell to the woman, and then there would be
not
competition
for a long time,
because women weren't supposed to hold that much power, so you'd have to marry well. Or if you were a family who was losing your position, which happened, you lost your titles, they would sell their daughters off to the whatever.
Because they had to for survival.
And then there is competition between women, and then it does kind of make sense. If there is only one farm and only one way for me to make a living.
Right.
Our memories of our parents, I think, are quite different, or our mother.
I think because of where they live.
Because of where they live. I remember, I didn't think it at the time. I have two sisters, so my mother had four boys and three girls, and she taught us to be strong, because all three of us are strong. But I have memories of her working with her friends. One lady's husband didn't allow her to drive, so my mother would take her to town to take a driving test. And it became a joke because she failed 7 times. But my mother was the one who said, "We're going again.
Wow.
We're going again. Wow. You will have this freedom."
Good.
That was important to her. And I never at the time thought of my mother as this strong leader of women's rights. But she was, even though my father allowed her no rights.
Mm-hmm.
She did what she could behind the scenes.
Oh, that's
for others.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
And I didn't realize it, of course.
Right.
We don't see that thing about her.
But actions speak louder than words.
They do.
And that is a really good example. Because
mm-hmm.
my mother was fine not driving. And it was her dad, my granddad, who one day showed up and said, "Come on, you've got to learn to drive." And he taught her. And my brother and I were little. She was contented to not drive.
Wow. I think every woman should drive, and every woman should learn how to drive a 5-speed or a stick shift.
Right.
I feel very important. And every young man, because that means they could drive any vehicle anytime, no matter what.
And you don't know what the circumstances might be.
You never know.
It may be. It may be a situation where you really need to do that.
Right.
Learn it first. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of it. If you learn it first, then you'll never think about it again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like to see or think of women being in a situation where they couldn't drive a vehicle under any circumstance because they didn't know how.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we got off on that track. But it's part of women's independence to me.
Right, right, right.
If you take care of who you are, everything will be better in your family and everywhere else, I think.
Right. Well, I was thinking, that made me think about the whole division of women's work versus men's
right.
work. Men, you know, fix the cars, men do yard work, men do finances, men make more money, men, you know, all the things that traditionally men do and all the things that traditionally women do, cooking and sewing and teaching and what is vital to life and what's not and how that division happened.
And that's where our lives separate because I've been alone without a husband for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
and you've had one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Without thinking about it, you count on him for certain things.
And you have a very traditional relationship.
We kind of have a, we're kind of, I mean, he does the outside work, I do the inside work.
Mm-hmm.
Because he prefers that, probably, and so do you. That's a question.
You know, that's an interesting question because it's just, that's just the way we divided it up. And so I don't think much about, I do the weeding because he won't do that. But I have not really ever thought, it's just never been my responsibility.
Oh.
Trust me, I'm a better house cleaner.
But if I could mow the lawn, it's a, some wonderful pleasure out of seeing a well-mowed lawn. If I could do that while my husband were in cooking, I would love that role. Yeah.
Plus, I think it smells good.
It does.
Now, I have mowed the lawn. Our yard's kind of biggish, and he doesn't like self-propelled because he likes the exercise of it. If it were self-propelled, I would just go out and
do it
myself.
I wouldn't be pushing a mower anymore.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like fun to me.
No, but I think it smells wonderful.
Yeah. But that's a good point. Some things we do because we enjoy doing them.
Right.
Some things, I mean, trust me, I don't love paying bills.
Right.
I do it because I have to.
I don't love some of the things I've had to learn because I'm single, but I do like that I know them. Like a friend... the other day had to get a ride to work because the power was out so she couldn't open her garage door. And I said to her, all you have to do is pull that cord. And you, with your husband being out of town a lot, know that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that because my husband at the time traveled. So there were things we had to know.
Right.
And I'm glad we did.
Yes.
I don't feel like I was ever in a position where I couldn't manage something in the house.
Yes.
Because he wasn't there to help me.
Yes.
But then again, we called someone else to do it.
Right.
Well, isn't that nice?
Right.
We
right.
have that privilege.
And yet, right, truly, all three of us have been willing to go out and work.
Yes.
And that does afford you the luxury of saying, no, I'm not doing my own plumbing.
Right.
I'm calling somebody.
The freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't always, there are lots of people who don't have that. It's a major deal if something goes wrong.
Right. But some of that, too, is the gender mindset. You guys both know my friend Davina. She and I installed my toilet.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And that's a quote unquote man's thing. But
they did a fine job.
We did it.
Right.
And it was fine and it was fine. And would I do it again? Maybe.
Part of it was the adventure of it. It wasn't that you couldn't call anybody.
You know, part of it, yeah.
Part of it was to just prove to yourself that you could do it. She had done it before.
Yeah, she had done it before, and she said it wasn't that difficult. And I had called a plumber, and it was going to be like close to $1,000 to install a toilet. And she's like, that's ridiculous. It took me maybe 2 or 3 hours. We can go do it. And I was like, okay, 2 to 3 hours for $1,000.
I've done things like that. If I received a bid that was too high,
yeah,
I can
ridiculous.
Do some minor electrical things. I can change out a circuit. I can put in a new light fixture in the outside of my home because I don't want to pay $75
right.
or $100 for that.
And that's not unusual right. anymore, I think, for women to do that. But I do think if somebody says, my 70-year-old mother is going to do this, there's this visual idea of this frail little old lady getting in and doing it. You know what I mean?
I think
there's that mindset. And then when you actually start engaging in society and you're like, oh, this is what 70 is, that's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
These people are competent.
But I also believe my mother did a lot of things at 70.
Well,
that's her mother.
Well, I didn't think my mom was old at 70 at all.
No, I didn't like my mother because she wouldn't know. She did a lot of things. She was a widow at the time, and she loved her home on the farm, but literally had it picked up and moved to town.
Oh, that
at the end of this long cul-de-sac. And the neighbor gentleman at the time who had new homes there just didn't think that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of home are you moving in? And I remember vividly her saying that two of them came out to her farm because they wanted to, quote, inspect her home.
Oh, how funny.
And see if it met their qualifications for it. And they were pushy with her, and she was 70. My mother was not so
much. And were they pushy because she was 70?
Because she was 70, and she was probably 5'4". There were several things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she quietly thought, you can do this if you want, but I'm still moving my home.
Right.
And they became fast friends once it was at the end of the cul-de-sac. It was really beautiful.
Good.
It wasn't an old, you know, 18th century home. It wasn't that.
Right.
It was just her dream home. But she did a lot of things. My grandmother had a child out of wedlock, which was happened, of course. But she was forced to leave Iowa. So she went to North Dakota and homesteaded on land. Which meant she had to work the land in order to have it with her young son. So I think we've probably all had generations of our mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers who've done things that we don't talk about very much.
Mm-hmm.
I am aware, as a woman,
mm-hmm.
and also as aging, that I do want to set an example for Laura.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But I have always thought, and when I make mistakes, I often talk to her about them because there's no reason for her to repeat a mistake. But I do think now if I were running around with no makeup and hunched over and, you know, that would be a good example for her.
Acting old.
Acting old.
She wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Well, she'd probably slap me silly.
I have two boys who treat me the same way. They don't like it. Excuse me. If I act like I can't imagine doing that, but acting like I couldn't.
Right.
I mean, I think of it. I did a 14er last year, and I will stop strangers on the street to tell them that. But my sons are both very proud of me for doing it.
Yeah.
But that's an example.
I think that we don't just think of ourselves. We think of our children. Well, of course I want to be someone that can go places with them and do things with them and they can talk to. And
I do think that's changed because it used to be, like, I teach fitness and it drives me crazy when people are like, I need to be in the class for people over 40. Oh, my God, what is a class, you know? Or I'm 50 now, I'm 60 now. So what? What do you want to do?
Well, you and your mother are great examples of that. I'd like to say there are things I can't do in any of Laura's workouts because I'm 70.
But you do it.
And I look over next to you and you do it. You're doing it.
Well, then you do it all.
You do it.
Yeah.
No, not like you.
But my philosophy is...
Got to try it.
You get up every day and you do what you did the day before. And if you do that, then nothing should change.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Nothing should change, but inevitably it will because we may have an injury. We may have something that limits us. That's frustrating. That could happen to a 20-year-old woman
Yes, it sure can.
But you and I both get over our injuries and go back to it.
I don't like talking about my injuries. It's embarrassing to me.
Yeah, but you don't say
I
sprained
an injury
my ankle,
right
therefore
now.
I'll never do aerobics again.
Oh, no.
No, you have a sprained ankle. You do what you can while it's healing, and then you get back into aerobics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot has changed with the whole aging structure that we do work out. We're supposed to do that. You're not washed up at 50 and halfway there.
Well, I'm always shocked, and Linda said this too. She led that community, which is a lovely community by you, 55 and over.
Oh, yes, it is.
It just shocked me, 55?
Right.
You know, some people have a 10-year-old child at 55.
True.
You're not
right.
Or silver sneakers. I have no idea how old you're supposed to be for silver sneakers, but... that they have to put an age on it.
Right.
To me, if that's where you belong, that's fine. But they quantify it.
Right. Well, this will crack you up. We keep getting AARP stuff in the mail. And Sean didn't even know what AARP was. No, and it's always coming to him. And finally he says, he says, what is this AARP stuff? Well, I said, well, it's the Association for Retired People. He said, why are we getting it? I said, because you turned 50 last year. And he was like, oh, my God.
I worked with a man, and when I first got my first AARP notice, you get it before 50,
okay.
was my recollection. And I was getting it for a year or two, And one day I was going off at work about, I'm so disappointed. How dare they send me AARP things? And he said, what is your problem? And I said, this is for old people. And he said, you're old. Get over it. And we laughed a lot. It's true. We yeah. learned to laugh.
Well, and when the Social Security stuff started yeah. coming, I was like, what the heck?
Because I think it's a nice compliment that we're getting those things way before we even think of them.
Yes, because people did used to retire at 50, and now you think, right. why would you quit working at 50?
Or 55.
Or 60.
Or 70. I mean, right. my boss why is would over you... 70, and I don't, we're not an old office.
No, no. And I think that's nice. Things have gotten better.
They have gotten yes. better. Well, yeah. we don't. The age doesn't quantify who we are. It doesn't,
no.
it doesn't say this is what you can do.
No. And tell me if you guys feel the same way. I feel like, maybe it's because I'm older, but I feel like age is less structured now and it's more fluid. I look at people and I'll think, wow, you could be anywhere mm-hmm. really between 40 and 60, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know, I really think the difference is a good diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
it's that... And it doesn't show up till you're in your 60s, probably, but you
That's
take
true.
Care of yourself. And then it does become confusing because some people are falling apart at 50 and 60, and some people haven't started thinking about it, and some of us are somewhere.
Yes.
But it really is confusing, where in past generations it was pretty clear. You put on your house dress. And
right. And you had your little gray curly hair. And,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you thought about meals all the time.
Yeah.
At
yes.
breakfast, you thought about dinner. I don't ever do that.
I don't know.
That doesn't
oh my goodness,
occur to me
no.
to do that.
I have a friend who, I love her philosophy. She says, well, food's never a problem. You can buy food.
Mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. like that, too. And that's maybe a privilege of our generation.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's true. We have so many options.
Yeah. And beyond mm-hmm. that, probably socioeconomic,
sure.
too.
Very much so. Yesterday, I ran a lot of errands, and it was 2 o'clock, and I had not had breakfast or lunch, and it occurred to me that
you were hungry.
I was a little shaky.
Yeah.
So I pulled over to Ted's Montana Grill and sat at the bar and ordered a lunch slash dinner.
Nice.
I like the privilege that we can do that. My mother could not, would not have
yes.
done that. Would your mother have done that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, good for
she would
have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Mm-hmm. She was. I don't
well,
think she was different, but
yeah,
she really she was full of self-confidence
and very progressive.
She was an interesting combination of being inside her generation. Perhaps it's because she was a Leo. She knew how to take care of herself.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say we're all interesting dichotomies, I think, but she was a particularly interesting dichotomy in that she was very much.
She just came in.
Not really, yeah. Not really the little woman, but she was definitely submissive to men, and she didn't like female doctors. She didn't want female dentists. She didn't think female plumbers or she was very. And even with female children, there was definitely boys are better.
My mother had the opposite view. She preferred it when she had a choice of a female doctor or a female dentist. She mm-hmm. was proud of who they were and would go to them first.
I like that.
I do, too.
I feel more that way, too, but for her generation,
yeah.
I think that's
That is remarkable. I didn't think of it until you said that.
Uh-huh.
But a couple of times she would do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because my grandma Marilyn could be very bossy and very upfront and very and then very meek all at the same time.
Oh, well, I think my cousin,
we're all that way.
Yes, we are. That's true.
Mm-hmm. We're not just one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the last time I was meek, but yes, I think I probably could be.
I really can't imagine. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's okay to be when you need to be, too.
Well, sometimes it's preferable. I mean, sometimes, you know, if someone's going to be bossy and no one you know and it doesn't matter, I'm just willing to get out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to smile and get out of the situation because I don't need to fight it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need, it's not my issue.
Yeah.
Interesting to watch. And still, today, women at work with other women, I don't like what I see.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they were more supportive.
Mm-hmm.
They might be socially, but I'm not sure in the workplace they are. There's still too
I agree.
Much competition.
Mm-hmm.
My older son remembers one of his first jobs out of college that when in a meeting, when two women would begin to disagree, he would interject or try to interject something. He very quickly learned that he would roll back his chair and say nothing and let them go at it, because it wasn't about him. The two of them were trying to prove a point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was disappointed because he called me about it. He didn't like that.
That's good that he called you about it.
Yeah.
I think I've always worked with supportive women. And maybe I gravitate to that because it's my belief.
But also, I think since you worked in education, I think education tends to be more collaborative like being in the legal field, and there's one top case and one person gets that one top case and you're all good.
But my situation now is very supportive too.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did retail, that was very supportive. So I would have never thought about it, but I think I gravitate to where I'm comfortable. I can't imagine going to work every day or once a week or whenever and feeling at odds with someone.
But about getting a job, yes.
And I've always worked primarily with women, so maybe that's my preference.
I've always worked primarily with men, except at the school district when our leader was a woman. And a very strong woman.
Oh, a wonderful woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who also favored men.
Yep. Seriously. Well, she had to work in a man's world.
Over women.
Uh-huh.
That's hard.
It is hard, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the boss that is referring to is a very strong woman.
Mm-hmm. Very.
And, you know, that got me to thinking. There were times when I was working that I would prefer to work with men because they were less catty than women. So then I would go ahead and choose men as my co-counsel because I didn't want to deal with the
sometimes
junk
you just don't
that women
want to do that.
Brought.
Yeah. Interesting. And they might not always bring it. But
no.
You could judge a situation and say, here they will. Here I think women will do it. And men just don't. That's not. And I think when they compete with each other, and they do.
Yes.
It's. Not in that same catty way. I can't articulate what way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you and I, Linda, you or I, were to work in an office or a situation with young women, I wonder how that dynamic would change.
Well, I think because of our temperaments, we would want to lead them by example.
And I have no issue with young women. I think they're delightful.
I do too.
I wonder if we would be left out or if we would be included. Or
I feel like we'd be included.
I would hope so.
I don't think I hope I don't. I don't think I compete with other women.
You don't?
I don't. I hope not. It's hard to say in the work situation, would I?
Yeah. And I was thinking about you too when you were saying that and thinking about some of my younger friends. Sometimes I think it's hard for younger women to see older women as role models. Instead, they see them as moms. And that's a whole different dynamic.
They do.
Yeah.
And in leading people, I'm not your mom, I am your boss.
That's interesting.
I've noticed at my current part-time job that I work sometimes with a 27-year-old, and that the men who walk by when we're working on a project, the men who walk by are delightful and charming with her and condescending with me. In a way they don't see it that way. They think they're treating me like their grandmother in a nice way, in a respectful way. But that's what I see happening.
I like that because I don't think there's a good role model for being respectful to an older woman.
Right. And they don't quite know how to do it or respect your skills.
Mm-hmm.
I buy really cute purses. And I had a young man approach me in a restaurant a couple of years ago. And he said, I love your purse. Where'd you get it? And I thought, oh, this is so flattering. He said, I think my mom would love it.
That's nice. In the end, it's nice. Maybe it isn't. But in the end, he's thinking of, pleasing his mother. I like
but when
that.
He said that, it took it to a whole different level for me.
Right. And is there anything else you guys want to say?
No, it's been fun. Thank you for the privilege.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome. And you guys all have a fantastic week. So thank you. You guys have a fantastic week. We will see you next week. And in the meantime, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.